It does remind me of I'll Be Gone in the Dark, which I also found really creepy. Hard to read sometimes because it happened, you know. But the way that, Sarah Wyman writes it does read like fiction. She has a wonderful way to write. It's not just reporting. It's chilling and it's eerie, it's creepy, and it's real.
And giving her a voice, too. Like, you feel so bad for her.
Right. Right. She personalizes this 11-year-old because, as I said before, it's not just about this thing that happened, and it's not just about Nabokov and whether or not he, you know, used this information to inform his writing of Lolita. There's an 11-year-old kid at the center of this. What did she go through? You know? So it's for her and for other children like her who've experienced something horrific.
I heard her speak at ALA at that, the nonfiction that reads like fiction, and that was her main point, and it was incredibly stirring. I mean, just talking about that's what needed to happen was giving Sally a voice and making sure she's known and what she went through is known and shared and acknowledged, and it was really moving. So highly recommend, highly, highly recommend. All right, I'm going to talk to you about I Know You Know by Jillian McMillan. She's best known for her New York Times bestseller, What She Knew. She also wrote The Perfect Girl and Odd Child Out. She's a great thriller author out of the UK. And this takes place in Bristol, where all of Jillian's books take place. And it basically follows the murder of two 11-year-olds back 20 years ago, Charlie and Scott. They were murdered and found in Bristol. No one ever discovered what happened to them. And then 20 years later, their friend Cody, who's still haunted by their deaths, he's a filmmaker and he wants to get to the bottom of what happened. So he comes back to Bristol, he starts a podcast to document his recordings, and quickly finds that not everyone in Bristol is eager for him to dive into the mystery of these two children. So with Jillian, what I love most about her books is all the perspectives. She'll always tell the story from multiple viewpoints. You'll get Cody, you'll get like the mother of one of the children who was murdered. You'll get the detective who was on the case 20 years ago, and all the perspectives are incredibly unique and well thought out, and just very true to kind of the psychological profile that you'd imagine for each of them. It's again a twisty thriller, but again, just full of humanity, and I just think Jillian's one of the most talented authors, thriller authors working today, particularly with the multiple viewpoint angle and really having each voice be so unique and fully fleshed out. So I highly recommend. It's coming September 18th. That's I Know You Know by Jillian McMillan.
Okay. So the next is The Mermaid and Mrs. Hancock. This is a beautiful cover as well. So this is 1780s London, and it's kind of loosely based on a true event. So P.T. Barnum kind of had this thing going. It wasn't true, but he said it was a mermaid. It was called the Fiji Mermaid, but really it was a two dead thing, like a monkey and a fish sewn together. How would you like that job? But so he would take it on the road and be like, oh, a mermaid exists. And so it just kind of drew all of these crowds. And so it was loosely based on this idea. But Jonah Hancock, in 1785, Georgian London, he gets a knock on the door for healing a fleet of ships. One of his captains comes to his door in the middle of the night and says, I sold a ship. No big deal. Got a mermaid. We're going to make millions. But it's crazy. Like, he's just like, what is this thing? But he goes into like the seedy underground of London and he puts it on display and it kind of takes off. It's huge. It's like everyone wants to see it. It really is like P.T. Barnum's circus coming to town again. Everyone wants to see it. And so he kind of gets like halfway involved with this brothel, and there's a big, strong female group of women that tell their story, and he kind of sees somebody there. And It's got the themes of societal constructs and women trying to get out of a place that, you know, seems like they can't ever get out of, really seeing what kind of gossip does and how it spreads, especially in Georgia and London, where they don't have TV and they don't have, you know, sometimes they don't even have access to books, so really no one knows anything and they just kind of take it, to be sure. So Imogen Hermes Gower is the author. She came into the office, and I got to sit in on an interview that someone did in our department, and she is so cool. She is an anthropologist, and she works in museums, so art history, so she knows her stuff, but she really has an appreciation for Georgia and London and kind of seeing the bones of something. She said she walked around and got a feel for where this would be. But also she was saying in this interview that it's so interesting to think, like, these people had never, like, she gave an example of, like, a kangaroo. They had never seen a kangaroo, so you just have to take someone's word for it. But it's really, like, that is shown in this. So all these people are coming to see this mermaid, and they have no idea they think it exists because they take their word for it. So it's really interesting. There's so many reviews. I can't even go into it, but this is The Mermaid of Mrs. Hancock by Imogen Hermes Gower.
All right. This is going to be my last thriller that I talk about you about today. I know. Sad. But, boy, it's a fine thriller indeed. It's Cross Your Heart by Sarah Pinborough. We're absolutely...
Is your last one Cross Your Heart?
Cross My Heart. I hope this eye stick a needle in my eye. Sequel would be Stick a Needle in My Eye.
Great idea.
Ooh, no one steal that. That's my novel.
Cut the press. Chris gets all the money.
Yep. This is her first novel with us. Her debut thriller, Behind Her Eyes, which was a New York Times bestseller, kind of took the thriller world by storm. It started a hashtag WTF that ending. She's basically, Sarah's the master at twists. There's at least 18 twists in Cross Her Heart that will leave you floored each and every time. Cross Her Heart follows a young single mother. Well, she's very quiet and very conservative and stresses constantly over her 16-year-old daughter. Her name's Lisa. And basically the only people in her life are her daughter, Ava, and then her best friend, Marilyn, who's trying to get Lisa to kind of open up a little bit. But Lisa has a very good reason for wanting to be, kind of live a very secretive, low-key life, of which, and you'll find out why, but particularly when her 16-year-old daughter goes missing and weird kind of morsels from her past start appearing that no one could know about. And Lisa's lived a very hard life, a life she's been very dedicated to leaving behind. But again, things are bubbling to the surface, and you don't know why. The main thing with this novel, I mean, there's some really difficult scenes as you explore what Lisa went through as a child and kind of why she's hiding from her past. And in less delicate hands, it could seem it would be something you wouldn't be able to read. But with Sarah, this novel is very female-centric, the power of female friendships. I'll read this great booklist review, which kind of summarizes that. But beyond just the twists and thrills, the humanity that she injects into both Lisa, her daughter, and her best friend, and what they go through and how they persevere, it's just masterfully done. So I'm going to read this book list review. It says, can I find it? I can. Cross Her Heart is unapologetically feminist, driven by the strong relationships between women, for better or worse. This will be an easy sell for fans of all domestic suspense, especially fans of Leanne Moriarty and Megan Abbott. Again, this is our first novel that we've published with Sarah, and we're so thrilled to welcome her. This is a really special thriller. It really is a standout thriller, coming September 4th, so not that far away. Cross Her Heart.
Okay, I am next with The Fabulous Bouvier Sisters, The Tragic and Glamorous Lives of Jackie and Lee by Sam Kashner and Nancy Schoenberger. So Sam Kashner and Nancy Schoenberger have written books in separate from each other, independent of each other, but a bunch of years ago they wrote the book called Furious Love, which was a big bestseller. And that was the story of Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton and their marriage. The Marriage of the Century was the name of the book. And so they're back now together with this profile of Jackie Kennedy and Lee Radziwill, her sister. This is what sets this book apart from
other books about Jackie is that Sam Cashner sat down with Lee Radzwell, who is now in her 80s, and spent hours interviewing her. So these are direct sources, direct source material. And she's ready for the world to hear her side of the story. So, I mean, you know, I don't think there's any end to the interest in the Kennedys for a lot of people. This book has gotten some really wonderful reviews already. PW, Publishers Weekly, gave it a starred review, saying readers drawn to the Kennedy mystique will savor this intricate chronicle, rife with romance, tragedy, and surprising details, such as that Jackie may have helped choose JFK's paramours. Wow. The authors provide an intimate view of two sisters, both famous in their own rights. That's Publishers Weekly giving a starred review. Kirkus says, suffice it to say, more than 50 years on, explorations of the truths and fictions of Camelot continue to mesmerize. And they do, because it was really such a unique time. Anyway, so it's evocative and gossipy, and it's about these two sisters who represented style and class. We learn about when Jackie Kennedy Onassis, when she died in her home, she was 64 years old, and her sister was there and, you know, bereft, of course. But then when Jackie's 38-page will was read, her sister Lee discovered that there was nothing left for her or her children. She discovered that substantial cash bequests were left to family and members, but not to her. Not even a memento. And Jackie says, I have made no provision in this, my will, for my sister Lee B. Radzwell, for whom I have great affection, because I have already done so during my lifetime. So that's loaded, and so is the book, with a lot of information. So I misspoke. She did leave bequests for her children, but not for Lee. So they, you know, they were a lot alike in a lot of ways. They both were artists, and they loved the arts. They loved Greece. They loved their father. Jackie, I think, was more of her father's favorite, and Lee was her mother's favorite. You know, but you know, Jackie was the more well known, and Lee lived in her shadow. So there was rivalry and jealousy when they were growing up, and probably into their growing years. So Sam Cashner and Nancy Schoenberger tell this complete story of this relationship between these larger-than-life sisters. They also draw on brand-new information and, as I said, extensive interviews with Lee Radzwell. So it sheds light on the public and private lives of these two women who lived through, you know, terrible tragedy and but also a glamorous life as well. I don't know. What else can I tell you? I think you get the picture. Oh, and speaking of pictures, there's a lot of them in this book. It's a lot of illustrations, 16-page color insert. I think people are going to come to this in a big way. Did I say PW? Let's see. Yes, I did give you that, which is a really cool quote. So that is The Fabulous Bouvier Sisters by Sam Cashner and Nancy Schoenberger. P.S. I used to work at Doubleday, and Jackie Kennedy worked there. She was an editor there. So nice to see her. The first time I saw her, I thought I was fall off my chair. I couldn't believe it. And once I bought her a bag of M&Ms, and I asked her if she wanted plain or peanut, and she said, no nuts.
You know what you should do? What? Like, have a themed presentation. So, like, baby Ruth, you can talk about your dad, me, Kim.
Oh,
M&Ms. Talk about.
That's so true. All my chance encounters with celebrities and the candy related to it. Lady, genius. Sign me up. I love that. Okay. That's that. Oh, I go again. Unsheltered by Barbara Kingsolver. I don't think I bought her any candy. There's no I can't think of any candy involved with Barbara Kingsolver. No, I got nothing.
Charleston Jew.
Well, her book is quite chewy, I'll tell you that.
There you go.
It's Unsheltered. That is the name of her next novel, by Barbara Kingsolver. So it's going on sale in October.
the let me just back up for 1 second. The Bouvier Sisters, the fabulous Bouvier Sisters, goes on sale September 25th. And Barbara Kingsolver's book, which I will now tell you about, Unsheltered, goes on sale September 26th. No, October 16th, I lied. On sale October 16th. Okay. So this is a novel that takes place in New Jersey. And it is the main character of the house, of the story, is a house. So the house sits in this town called Vineland, New Jersey, and it's when you first start the book, you meet. It's set in current times, and it is about a woman who lives in the house with her family and sort of extended family because she can't get rid of her older grown kids because life's not working out for them. The house is falling apart. Her husband's lost his job. The bills are stacking up. She needs money. And she's inherited this house in Vineland, New Jersey. And her magazine where she worked is folded, so things aren't looking good. And she's got all these people living with her, too, her grown son and blah, blah, blah. So she decides that she's going to investigate the history of her home, and she hopes that the local historical society will help her and maybe even give her some funds to fix this house up because it's blowing up. It's in shambles, as is sort of her life. And so that's where we start out. It's this this husband and this house, and nothing's going right. And so when she starts to do her investigation into the history of the house, she finds out who lived there a century ago. And it was a man who was a scientist, and Darwinism was just coming to light, and of course not embraced by everybody. And so he was sort of under pressure to, you know, there was a lot of conflict at work, conflict at home, a very unpopular theory that, as I say, wasn't embraced by all. So that's kind of the crux of it. These two families, one house, separated by two centuries, and they're navigating the challenges in a world in the throes of a major cultural shift. So it's told in alternating chapters. The chapters are told by, you know, present day, and then you go back to Thatcher. Willa is the woman at contemporary part of the story, and Thatcher is the scientist two centuries ago. And so they're talking about how their future is uncertain and unnerving, but they're taking shelter in the bonds of their, you know, families and friends, or trying to. So hence unsheltered, because there's so much going on. What I will say about this book is that it's so much more than this. What I think is really interesting about this book, aside from the read, because she's brilliant and it's gotten some wonderful reviews, all these starred reviews, it's amazing. She's so smart. So wonderful. On the Edelweiss page, the catalog of this book, you can see this letter, you can read this letter from her, and it talks about why she wrote this book, like what's the impetus of this thing. And it really started to come about when leadership in the world was changing. She doesn't specifically go into names and doesn't really go into politics at all, but she just talks about the shift and the way things are starting to look, because she wrote this book a while ago, you know, but she knew then that the landscape was changing and that new leaderships were ascending, and fear and polarization were starting to form more so than ever before. And so I encourage you to read this letter, because I found it really compelling why she wrote this, what informed this story of then and now, and these two people, and the pressures that they were under, and the shifting landscape then and now, and how nothing really does change, because there's always something new, and there's always going to be conflict, and you hope that, you know, at the end of the day, you do have the shelter of your family and your friends to get you through it. But I encourage you to read that, because it's really quite something else. So anyway, that's Unsheltered by Barbara Kingsolver. Wait, I have to read you. I have to read. It was a really great quote. Okay, so just starred reviews from Booklist, Kirkus, Publishers Weekly. Kirkus is really wonderful. It says, as always, King Solver gives readers plenty to think about. Her warm humanism, coupled with an unabashed point of view, makes her a fine 21st century exponent of the honorable tradition of politically engaged fiction. So smart. Okay, I'm done.
When's that going on sale, Virginia?
Oh, thank you, Christopher. That goes on sale September, October 16th.
Cool. Can warm I interrupt for
humanism.
One second?
Warm humanism.
You need more of that.
So the next...
Well, can I interrupt one second, Lainey?
Yeah.
Can, except for Marilla, can we kind of go into a lightning round because I owe a lot of commercials?
So, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
So, Kill a Mockingbird, graphic novel. I can do this really quickly. We all know the story of Kill a Mockingbird, Deep South, 1930s. Harper Lee's story about Scout and coming of age. Not going to go into it, but this is a graphic novel by Fred Fordham. And he was welcomed to the estate, and he is going to pull in new readers. This is going to be like A Wrinkle in Time and The Alchemist, who they just came out with graphic novel adaptations. So I think this is going to be in the same throes. It's going to bring new people. Kids read it in school, but maybe they're a little reluctant. Maybe they can read it in a graphic novel form. So you're going to want to know about that one. I won't. Yeah.
Okay.
Jennifer, do you want to stop so you can do your commercials?
Well, do you want me to do the commercials and come back, or do you want to keep going?
It's up to you.
You decide.
Tough. Lightning round. Let's go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't finish them all now.
But don't okay. Don't skimp on Marilla.
I won't. Okay. I know it's a Jennifer Winberry favorite.
Okay. Go, Chris.
All right. So, Next Person You Meet in Heaven by Mitch Albom. So, this is a sequel to The Five People You Meet in Heaven. Came out 15 years ago. Sold over 8 million copies worldwide. And this follows, so in the previous novel, you meet Eddie, the grizzled war veteran slash amusement park mechanic who died saving the life of a young girl named Annie. Now, this novel follows Annie's life and her adventures in life, both in life and the afterlife. So again, this is, you know, Mitch Albom, big deal, Tuesdays with Morrie, The Five People We Meet in Heaven. So there'll be throngs of fans coming to this. It's not to be missed. It's coming October 9th.
Okay, Marilla of Green Gables by Sarah McCoy. This is something that's really close to my heart. Sarah McCoy is, she has books and she has so many accolades, but she knows what she's doing. She went to Prince Edward Island and she researched for this book. So, Anne of Green Gables by Ella Montgomery, as you read in the intro, is my favorite book. And this is what happened before Anne. This is Marilla's story, and it really gives her due, and she was 13 in the beginning of this book, and her mom is just about to give birth, and her aunt comes that she's never met, and so she's kind of ready for life. They've just built Green Gables, and they're excited, and we all know the quote in the original book, if you're a big fan, where she says that she dated at one time Gilbert's dad, John, and so this is really, she took that and expanded upon it. So it's in the middle of the Civil War in America, so slaves are coming up. It's political strife in Canada because they're on the verge of a civil war to decide if they want to break off or not. And in the middle of all of this, Marilla's mom passes away. So it's all about family loss, and she kind of feels like she has to take on some of the responsibility. And she also gets in, you know, families are divided just like here in the United States. And so really she gets involved in politics. She kind of finds her voice. You don't have to have read Anne of Green Gables, but so the story stands on its own. It's a great story, but also if you have read Anne, it really mirrors a lot of Anne's life, and it kind of does a lot of nods to it, which you feel like you're coming home, and you get to go visit Prince Edward Island again. So I interviewed Sarah McCoy at ALA, and that is a podcast that you can find on hc.com and also on our SoundCloud, the Library Love Fest podcast. Also, Lou Burney's interview, Chris interviewed Lou Burney from November Road. You can find that there, too. But she just did so much research, and she went to Prince Edward Island for a month, and Sarah's a really cool person. You just have to hear how much love comes through in this podcast. I don't want to talk forever because I could. Jennifer, do you want to add anything about Marilla?
I don't. I loved it. Last year, you published Caroline. By Sarah Miller, which told the story of Ma Ingalls, and this this Marilla sort of mirrors that, kind of going to behind the story. So I really love that.
Yeah. Okay, me next. So, When the Men Were Gone by Marjorie Herrera Lewis. This is another story that has to be told. It's a mix between Friday Night Lights and Hot Atomic City Girls. It's a historical novel. It's her debut. It is based on a true story about a woman named Tylene Wilson in 1944 in Brownsville, Texas. She kind of united a football team that they were going to disband because all of the coaches had gone off to war. And finally, after several things, she goes through a lot of things, and she says, I can do this just as well as anyone else. And she goes through a lot of strife, but it's very uplifting, a lot of girl power. And I think of, like, Remember the Titans. It's very, like, you just feel like a part of it. You want these people to win. You want to know more about them, and just kind of going through a lot of societal pressures at the same time. And there's a behind the book and a PS section. Marjorie is now a football coach herself, which is so cool to me. And so it really inspired her, and I think this is such a cool story. I want her story to be told. So that's When the Men Were Gone by Marjorie Herrera Lewis.
One that's on sale right now that everyone should know about is Pants Drunk, The Finnish Path to Relaxation. So Pants Drunk, which is translated from Kalsara Kani, is the Finnish art of relaxation that involves drinking at home alone in your underwear. So this is kind of like the irreverent version of the Little Book of Hygge, that is basically just about taking care of yourself and your mind in a very wonderful, easy-to-do way. Literally, you peel off your clothes down to your underwear, place your favorite savory or sweet snacks within reach alongside your bed or sofa. Make sure your television remote is nearby, along with any and all devices to access social media, and open your preferred alcoholic beverage. It's that simple. Take care of yourself. It's a gift to you. It's available now. It's Pants Drunk by Miska Rantanen. Listen to the Finns. They know what they're talking about.
I'm doing it right now. Okay. It sounds like an infomercial. Like, even you can
take your pants off. Okay, we have three more books, and then we'll let it go. Pasta, Pane, Vino, Deep Travels Through Italy's Food Culture by Matt Golding. This is a publication under the Anthony Bourdain. Anthony Bourdain recently, unfortunately, sadly passed away. However, just to position this is under his imprint here at HarperCollins. It very much reads like Anthony Bourdain. This is from James Beard Award-winning website Roads and Kingdoms, the third in this series. It's gastro-tourism, and it brings you to... There's a food lover's guide through the landscape of Italy, their cuisine and their culture. Not a cookbook, something to be clear about. This is more like a travelogue about Italy's cuisine, and it's a great profile of everyday people who live and work there and bring food to the table. He goes town by town and bite by bite. It's absolutely beautiful book. I have a copy right here, and it's... The gorgeous photographs, there's over 200 color photographs in this book. Again, not a cookbook, but a profile of the country, of the people, of the food. He brings to life chefs and shepherds and fishermen and farmers and just wonderful people, grandmas, people who are just, you know, in love with their food and food proud and proud of their heritage. And it's a beautiful, beautiful book, Pasta, Pane, Vino. If you love Italy, check it out. So the last one I'm going to talk about is Lose Weight with Your Instant Pot. We know Instant Pots are, like, really big right now. Everybody's using them, and it's super easy. You don't have to, you know, take a long time to cook with it. So Audrey Johns, who runs the website loseweightbyeating.com, which you need to check out. It's really cool, and I think that would give them a lot of descriptions. So I won't go into all of that. But she lost 150 pounds in 11 months and kept it off. So now this is her way of kind of helping. She has other books like Lose Weight by Eating and Lose Weight by Eating Detox Week, but this is one pot cooking. So it's like you don't have to have a lot of time to lose weight, and this is really great. Some of the recipes are taco mac and cheese, chicken enchilada soup, chicken and dumplings, that kind of stuff. It's really easy to make. The author is really big on social. You should go check her out with that. And the last book is 100 Days of Real Food on a Budget by Lisa Leake. Lisa Leake is the creator of the 100 Days of Real Food blog, which she started
to prove that a regular suburban family could survive without processed foods. And she developed 100 Days of Real Food Pledge and inspired others to join along. And so that was just a simple challenge, and it started out that way. And it became this valuable resource, and it was read by millions around the globe, and it spawned her number one New York Times bestselling cookbook, 100 Days of Real Food. One of the biggest pieces of feedback about that was that about the pledge was that it sounds great, but it's too expensive. So this book is how to do 100 Days of Real Food on a budget, and she's on just $125 a week for a family of four. So she addresses the most common concerns for her readers, how to cut out processed food on a tight budget, but still enjoy wonderful recipes. It's a full-color cookbook with shopping lists and prices for each recipe. Unlike other budget cookbooks that only calculate the cost per serving, like have you ever tried to buy just a quarter cup of cream? This is a very practical book. It gives you exact total cost for all the necessary ingredients for each dish. So it helps families, even on the tightest budget, plan meals that will work for them. So there's breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks. Chicken burrito bowls, apple glazed pork chops, which I would like right now, and cinnamon roll pancakes just to start. There's a lot of stuff in here, and it's wallet-friendly recipes, and I think it's a really important book to have for your health and for your healthy wallet and healthy gut. So that's 100 Days of Real Food on a Budget by Lisa Leek. And we have gotten through 112 books, just kidding. Thank you. I know that you guys have to run some commercials, so that takes care of it from our end. But we just want to say that if you're interested in these and other books, please do check out LibraryLoveFest.com, where you can find lots of information about a lot of different things that we're doing, including, as I mentioned before, the Facebook Live that we do once a month. So thank you again for listening, for this opportunity to talk to you about our books. I don't know, anything else that anybody wants to say?
I just want to say thank you so much for doing this. This was awesome. Lainey, thank you for taking it to Chris in Virginia when I sent you an email and didn't dismiss me as the crazy old lady.
Never.
So it was a lot of fun. Thank you so much. And thanks for all the books you send me all the time.
Of course. And happy birthday to you, Mom.
Thank you. You guys have a good afternoon. Stay cool.
You too.
Bye. Right, bye-bye.
Bye.
I was born in the wagon of a traveling show. My mama had to dance for the money they throw. Mama would do whatever he could. Preach a little gospel. Sell a couple bottles of Dr. Good.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Welcome back to your regularly scheduled library show. Jim Thatch is sitting across from me, but you can't see him because of the book covers.
So it was very interesting.
Yes, once again, I'm going
to
thank...
I think I'm going to have my wife listen to that show because there's probably a lot of books on that list that she might want to read.
I think so.
And the one book that they talked about that I can speak to, I didn't want to interrupt them. They were on a roll. I forget which person was talking. Was called The Big Fella.
Babe Ruth, yeah.
Babe Ruth, and talked about how Ruth and Garrick used to barnstorm, and that was a big part of the book. And I can speak to that personally for family history because my mother's uncle was a semi-pro baseball player in South Orange in the 20s. And Ruth and Garrick came down and barnstormed with their team on October 29th, 1929.
Wow, you know the exact date?
Because it was the day of the market crash.
Oh.
Same day.
Wow.
And they played on my mother's uncle's team. And I forget, there was an article written about it. Garrick hit 3 home runs. Ruth hit a couple. They just, like, dominated, of course. But it was like a circus. My mother's other uncle was the bat boy. And actually, Ruth gave my mother's uncle a bat.
Oh, wow.
That day, that 50-something years later, they auctioned off for $30,000 or something. So, yes, that's interesting. I think I might have to grab that book just for that reason.
You should. Well, they'll all be at the Hunterdon County Library in the upcoming months.
Have you read most of those?
I've read about half of them. I still have not read November Road. I tried to get in a plug for my copy, but
They're passionate about what they do, and
it really comes
through.
They really are. They're super.
Well, why don't we just play around for these last 10 minutes? I get some Today in History if you want.
Oh, sure.
Some other trivia. Let me just mention the summer concerts. We had our last night summer concert. It was moved indoors due to oppressive heat and the threat of thunderstorms. I actually have not heard how it went yet, so I'll try to get that information. But we still have two more summer concerts left. Summer is not over yet. Next Wednesday, August 15th at 6:30 p.m., where we'll be welcoming Rave On to the Hunterdon County Library headquarters on Route 12. That's the band that features the music of Buddy Holly and Roy Orbison, along with other classic early rock and roll songs. Rave On's show is always a crowd pleaser. And then we wrap it up on August 22nd up at the North County Branch Library, starting at 6:30 p.m., the Summer Swing Orchestra.
And Wednesdays.
Who's performed many times for us in the past. So that's Glenn Miller, Benny Goodman, et cetera, all the big band era hits for your dancing and listening pleasure.
Well, the long range forecast looks like good weather for Wednesday. 85
it's and too
sunny.
Soon to even look at it.
Jim.
Well, it's a week away.
I know, but I'm being positive. And you're
well, that's nice,
you're
Jennifer.
Being Jennifer.
I'm not being negative at all. I don't want to look at it because things, especially this summer, weather can change during the day.
I know.
Forecasts. Our concert at the Hunterdon County Library, if you'd have told me the day before, I almost canceled it. And here it went off without a hitch.
That was a nice night. I know. And Saturday night, who knew there were more thunder showers in the forecast?
Yep. So it's maybe the hottest summer I can remember, Jennifer. What about you?
Yeah.
It might be.
I think so.
What's that say about global warming?
I don't know.
We're in a big trouble.
I think this
planet is going faster than people are realizing, which is starting to scare me a little bit. All this extreme weather, it's scary.
I mean, just
all those fires out in California. I'm not even don't want to think about hurricane season this year.
Oh, don't bring it up, please.
Okay, I think we have time for Today in History. Every week I ask Jennifer questions about events that happened on the current day. Today is August 9th. I'll see for some people who were born or who have died on August 9th and see if she knows who they are just by name recognition. Okay, Jennifer, let's go back to 1930 is our oldest event on August 9th. Who makes her cartoon debut in a comic short called Dizzy Dishes?
Betty Boop.
Very good.
Thank you.
You deducted that. Could you call a cartoon short Dizzy Dishes in today's world?
Probably not.
I didn't think so either, Jennifer. Okay, 1945. Huge World War II event happened on this date in 1945.
I'll tell you why I'm laughing.
It better not be because of this.
No, it was the bombing of Nagasaki.
And how do you know that?
Because Monday the 6th, was the anniversary of the dropping of the bomb on Hiroshima. And as Brian was saying, oh, today's October 6th. And he's like, what happened today? I'm like, I don't know. And he was like,
August.
August, I'm sorry. October, I'm already looking ahead to my birthday month. And he kept saying, like, he kept harping on it, like, what is today? What is today? What is today? He wouldn't stop until I told him what it was. And I didn't really want to talk about it first thing in the morning. Like, think about it. Think about anything. So
then, I don't know why, after dropping one, no nuclear bomb has been dropped in war before or after that, right?
Has
one been dropped since?
Uh-uh.
And the Japanese, we had to drop a second one.
I know. I would have.
Maybe we should have given them a week to think about it. 3 days? I don't know. We might not have had to drop the second one. Your follow-up question, what was the name of the atomic bomb that hit Nagasaki?
The one that hit Hiroshima was Big Boy. Little Boy?
Little Boy. Fat Man was dropped from the B-29 boxcar. 35,000 people were killed outright, Jennifer, including 28,000 Japanese war workers, 2,000 Korean force workers, and 150 Japanese soldiers. Only 150 Japanese soldiers. 1969, Jennifer, famous murder occurred in the United States. The perpetrator went to jail and just died, I believe, this year or last year.
Martin Luther King Jr.?
That was 68.
That was 68, and Bobby Kennedy was 68.
Yes. Sharon Tate was murdered by the Manson family. where Charles Manson went to jail for Harley. Charles Manson, maybe people don't know, didn't actually commit any of these murders. But it was his family members, and I guess he ordered them to do it, Jennifer. And finally, 1974, big date in political history. On August 9th, 1974.
It's a Richard Nixon Watergate reference.
Yes.
I don't know specifically what.
He resigned as President of the United States on this date, August 9th, 1974. Gerald Ford, the Vice President, becomes President. Okay, born on this date in 1757, Elizabeth Schuyler Hamilton.
She became the wife of, I can't think of, Alexander Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new biography out about her.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Oh, my wife will definitely read that one.
Okay.
Where do we, is this HarperCollins?
I don't remember off the top
better
of my
be.
Head.
Okay, besides this, she has a new biography about her. Anything else about her?
No.
Actually, when Alexander Hamilton died, she was instrumental in preserving his legacy. Like, she took all his letters and made... That's why I guess there's a play now and all this. She saved all the things. She was instrumental in funding, helping raise funds for the Washington Monument.
That's a lot of foresight back then. Like, you know, nowadays
they
save everything.
Incredible. She lived 50
everything.
Years past Alexander Hamilton.
Interesting.
So she collected and made sure, because Alexander Hamilton, during his time, his legacy was tarnished because he had a famous affair, et cetera, et cetera, which ruined his political career pretty much. But she preserved all, because he did a lot of great things as well, the federal banking system, among many, many other things. But she also, I believe, started the first orphanage in New York City. So a great woman in her own right. 1899, Jennifer P.L. Travers was born.
He was the author of Mary Poppins.
She. Yes. P.L. Travers. 1957, I know you get this one because it's one of your favorite movies. I think Melanie Griffith.
Oh, she was in, oh, Working Girl.
Yes, the one I was thinking. Isn't that one of your favorite movies?
It is.
Okay. 1963, born on the state, New Jersey's own Whitney Houston.
The greatest love of all. She was a singer. She died tragically a few years ago.
2012, yes.
Quite a few years ago.
And I guess that'll cover it. Any movie she was in? She was in a Christmas movie. A remake of a classic Christmas movie. The Preacher's Wife with Denzel Washington.
Yes.
Remake of The Bishop's Wife. She was also in Bodyguard. That was her biggest movie with Kevin Costner. Did you ever see that?
No.
And then finally born today, Hoda Kotb. Is
she the host of one of the morning shows?
Very good. The host of the Today Show. Elevated to co-host when Matt Lauer succumbed to the Me Too movement.
At P.L. Travers, you know, the end of the year, Mary Poppins Returns is coming out.
Yes, I do know that. With Lin-Manuel Miranda in the part of Dick Van Dyke's part. But he's a lamplighter this time instead of whatever Bert did in the original Mary Poppins. He's the Bert
sweep.
Character.
It was a chimney sweep.
Well, he was a chimney sweep. He sold chestnuts. He was a chalk. Yeah. Jack of all trades, Jennifer. But I believe Lin-Manuel Miranda of Hamilton fame is going to be a lamplighter in this newest version.
Oh, you're looking?
Yeah, I'm very looking forward to that.
Okay.
Just rewatch Mary Poppins with my... with Shelby, my grandson's mother. She had never seen it. Great, and it has a great message, so I thought it was important. But she knows the message even before watching it. Died on this date in 1963, Jennifer Patrick Bouvier Kennedy. We were just talking about the Bouviers.
We were. It was, he was Jackie Kennedy's brother. No, John Kennedy's brother. No.
Incorrect.
No, his son,
yep.
Baby boy.
The baby boy that was born after Caroline and John and unfortunately died hours after he was born, Patrick Bouvier Kennedy. And then on this date, in 1979, Walter O'Malley died. It's a sports reference. The most hated man in New York City in 1957, I believe.
Oh, the man who made the decision to move the Dodgers to LA.
The owner of the Brooklyn Dodgers, who up packed him up and moved him to the West Coast. Walter O'Malley died on this date in 1979. And that's today in history.
Today in history. We have about 7 more minutes before Jim Gano comes in.
Okay.
To take care of business. Do you want to talk about Library Card Month since you're just getting the materials ready?
Say that again.
Do you want to talk about Library Card Month?
I wish I brought that thing. I could have read it, but next week.
Next week we'll have it.
We're on the air next week, right?
Yes.
Next week I'm going to have a list of all the participating businesses that you can save money by flashing your library card. During the month of September, there are 42 businesses currently. We might get a few late arrivers on the scene, but I'll have the list of all 42 businesses.
And
next week.
You get discounts and...
And then you can make a note, and then, of course, when September comes, we'll have brochures available, so you can just carry that along with you, and all the businesses will have signs in their store, Jennifer. The Summer Reading Club events wraps up today. Campfire Storyteller will be performing Beauty and the Beast. There's one more show at afternoon at 1:30 p.m.
No, they're just telling campfire stories.
They are?
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with Beauty and the Beast, I asked last week.
They might hit place as one of the stories might be Beauty and the
Beast. It might be.
Okay, so this afternoon, Jennifer, 1:30 to 2:15, the Campfire Storytellers will be telling stories about something. This is for ages 3 and up. Free tickets are available at the library. The Adult Summer Reading Club is wrapping up. Their end-of-the-year party will be August 30th, 2018, and they're going to have an escape room as a game, and I tested the escape room. I think they're going to have a lot of fun with that. They did a nice job with it.
I don't quite understand how it works, but... Like, is there a moderator who tells you...
Yes. Like, in a normal escape room, this is a little different because these are teams competing at the same time against each other. Using a normal escape room, you're all on the same team trying to solve clues together to escape the room. You're locked into this room.
Right.
You can't get out until you figure out how to get out.
In case Bruce the fire marshal is listening, there is an emergency exit.
No, this one's different, Jennifer. No one's locked in. You're actually going around the library. This is calling it the escape room style, but it's not, of course. And then the last thing I want to mention is the ACL Amateur Photography Show for 2018. We're starting to accept entries. This has been going on for about 25 years, Jennifer. 30 years.
Wow.
No, almost between 25 and 30 years. It's open amateur photographers of Hunterdon County. The first 100 of photographers that enter will be accepted. The entry deadline is Friday. You got plenty of time, but I wouldn't procrastinate too long. Friday, September 29th, 2018. Registration forms can be found at the main library or the North or South County branch libraries or online at hclibrary.us. There's categories for adults and students aged 12 to 18. And there are various categories in black and white and color, such as Hunterdon County scene, florals, wildlife, scene, landscape, abstract, still life, people and human interests. It's only $2 to enter for an adult and $1 to enter for students. There'll be cash awards for first place in each category. We'll have an awards ceremony on Wednesday, October 10th at 6:30 p.m. with refreshments, and we'll announce the winners that evening. So more information about the HCL Amateur Photography Show, just go to our webpage at hclibrary.us. Got about 3 minutes left, Jennifer.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
What's that mean?
What you got? You got any more trivia?
I do have trivia. I'll ask you 10 quick trivia questions.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Can I do it in 3 minutes? General trivia?
Okay.
Okay, Jennifer. The nursery rhyme Frere Jacques.
Yes.
What does that translate to in English?
Brother John.
Very good. 4 battleships, Jennifer, were sunk at Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941. One of them was the Arizona. Can you name one of the other three?
Missouri.
Nope. Incorrect. The Oklahoma, the California, and the West Virginia all were sunk on that fateful day. Take a sad song and make it better, Jennifer, is a line from what Beatles song?
Hey Jude.
Very good. True or false, Jennifer, the borders of Colorado and Texas touch each other.
can't decide if it's a trick question or not. They do, but just briefly.
They do not. That little spit of Oklahoma prevents them from touching. Only one Major League Baseball player, Jennifer, has hit over 60 home runs in three different seasons. Name him. Only one player has done that.
Modern day?
Baseball, yes.
Modern baseball.
What do you mean modern baseball?
It's not Babe Ruth.
It's not Babe Ruth, but that's modern baseball.
All right. Barry Bonds.
That's what most people said. It was Sammy Sosa, believe it or not.
Wow.
What state is Tombstone in, Jennifer? The site of the gunfight at
Arizona.
The OK Corral. Arizona's correct. Jennifer, in Texas Hold'em Poker, five community cards are placed face up on the table. The first three cards are called the flop. The fifth card is called the river. What is the fourth card called?
I knew the river, and I knew the flop.
The fourth card is called the turn card. The turn. What company slogan was, "So easy, a caveman can do it"?
Was that?
Yes. Correct.
Geico.
Yes, just say
Geico.
It.
Geico.
What recent summer hit movie, Jennifer, starred Sandra Bullock, Kate Blanchett, and Anne Hathaway?
Ocean's 11.
Minus 3.
Ocean's 8.
Yes. And then finally, Jennifer, name the New England states.
Maine. Vermont, New
That's
Hampshire.
One.
Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Connecticut.
That is correct. Very good.
I was debating whether they were included.
You were correct. And it is time for us to say goodbye, Jennifer.
All right. Well, thank you for indulging me, Jim Thatch, and giving up part of the show for Library Love Fest team. And thanks once again to Virginia, Chris, and Lainey. Remember, wherever you are, you can call, stop in, or go online. Your library is always there for you.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Time for 100 Chamber Radio. Weather is 8:06.